this week's episode of Kinky Coffee Time,
an adult talk show dedicated to protect and restore the beauty and benefits of healthy BDSM dynamics.
Achieved through diverse perspectives from average people like you and us.
About not so average topics like sex,
shibari,
belts,
bondage,
aftercare,
paddles,
discipline,
subspace,
wax play,
submission,
Have we told the our fans that there's a new member to our polydynamic?
Huh?
Elliot. Was Elliot with us on our last episode? No, huh?
No. Really?
Maybe? I don't remember. You hadn't introduced him. If he wasn't, you hadn't introduced him yet.
He's pretty chatty sometimes.
Ugh. Okay. I hope he doesn't start crying because he needs attention.
Hello. He's just very vocal sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I've been thinking, for a while, do I want to do this again? Like, I was struggling with it. Like, what purpose am I serving? Like, is it even for a good cause? Because I'm working on, like, trying to get a clear mindset, and I've been struggling where to even, like, dissect things, you know?
I mean, it's hard to get a starting point. I can understand that.
Can you hear him purr?
I wonder, because he's loud.
Yeah,
I can hear him.
Loud.
If this is the first time tuning in, welcome. If you've been waiting for a while,
sorry.
We apologize for the wait time. Life happens, yeah. And oh, does life happen?
But we're here.
We're here.
We made it.
I came up with an explanation for this amount of time. Well, what the year has been to us. So the what I came up with was catastrophically necessary.
And I
came up with a list. I said a year of new discovery, new friendships, mm-hmm. new connections, new desires, new hope, new dreams, and new passions. That's pretty accurate, right? I can't say these things didn't come at a high price. Like, we got some really loss of relationships and deep friendships. I was saying that I was still processing, and in many ways still mourning it. Like, because that shit hurts, you know.
Yeah, it's a level of grieving for sure, and pain.
Just to become heavily invested and realize that is all just has come to an end, like so abruptly, like.
Think about the memories.
Yeah.
The plans you had together.
Yeah. And the reasons you ask, fortunately for you, my friends, my podcast does not do well with drama and avoids it at all costs. So that type of stuff will consume you from the inside out and we avoid it.
Yeah.
I was initially trying to do this episode solo and then I kind of just figured, okay, well, I don't know, it seems kind of selfish a bit. And so, yeah, I had written something down if I had taken the approach at that level. I was going to say nothing really has changed in our dynamic, but I'd be lying. Plenty has changed. Plenty. Fortunately, it all feels like it's for the better. So far, of course, I'll keep you posted if anything changes.
I'd like to be optimistic and just be positive about change, because that's all it is. It's a change.
It is change. And change, for the most part, in my opinion, if you know how to embrace it, it treats you well.
Correct.
Yes.
You have to be willing to embrace it.
Change.
Even when you have pitfalls and you keep walking and you realize it's just a matter of, like, figuring out the route or, like, finding different routes and just making sure you're well-equipped. You got your flashlights, you got your alternate routes and, like, those type of things so that you're prepared for dark moments.
Yeah, you have to... I mean, the approach or the mentality that I think is best is to just be aware and know you can't really control those changes. Like, it's a part of life that's going to happen, and that's something that's not always in our control. What is in our control is how we're able to manage and deal with those changes and learn from them and grow and make improvements that are going to lead to better changes.
It's interesting you bring that up, because one of the things that I had been thinking in my engagements with subs throughout my life, particularly when I made an effort to like become invested in them, or like just wanting to get to know them, it was almost like the more I wanted to get to know someone, the harder the challenge it became. Mm-hmm. Kind of like needing to prove myself, needing to pass the test.
Yeah, because there's certain, I guess, expectations.
And then I started thinking further into it, and I was just thinking, okay, why? Like, why have I been in situations where I needed to prove myself? And then it slowly started kind of merging in into having a deeper understanding of there's a very big possibility that there's, because of the amount of fakeness in this world, mm-hmm. it's almost inherently that's the way that you were brought up. So how do they compare someone with good intentions in their life to what? To, if they've never really experienced anything in their life, how do they know what the opposite is? Like, how do they, if they've been, you know, sexualized or abused and whatnot, and what do you have it to compare to? Like, you don't have anything you compare it to. You've only been dealt those cards.
Well, yeah, I think they base it off of a feeling, how it's supposed to feel. And that's the difference, that it's going to feel different for everyone.
Can you reword that for me?
Okay, so if they don't have another comparison for it, then what they're going off of is based only on feelings and what they see.
I'm having trouble understanding that, because I've never dealt with things that way. Like, I'm not saying that.
So you've never, like, romanticized your life?
No.
No?
No.
Really?
I've always seen how bad it could get almost immediately. Or how good it could be almost immediately.
So how do you balance your pessimism with your optimism?
Balance?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, don't people usually either think positively or negatively? Like, what's your first initial thought? Is it a positive one or is it a negative one?
My first initial thought comes more from an analytical perspective. It's neither good or bad. Yeah. It's more from a science. Like, if it's an issue, I first dissect it as a scientific experiment.
Yeah.
Without it being good or bad. It's more like, okay, let's...
Illogical.
Correct. Let's be hypothetical about the situation. Let's grab these eggs and put them in this incubator and see if the temperature makes a difference. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And so by doing that, it automatically goes through a cycle of process of elimination.
Okay.
And then from there, I deemed it... I get to a determination to say, okay, this is bad... Or this is good for me. And if I analyze that this is bad for me, right?
Yes.
Then I go into, okay, how bad is it?
Right.
Is this bad temporary or is this bad
long term
or permanent? And then when I get to that conclusion, I say, okay, if it's just for the moment and I can get some pleasure from it, then is it worth the risk? You see, it goes through phases.
Yeah.
And is everybody clear? Like, I also, just because I analyze things this way, I don't do it in a mischievous way where I really make a genuine effort to make sure that I'm very clear about my intentions at all times. Does that make sense?
Yeah, communicate, transparency.
And then if I deem it that it's something good for me, that or something that feels good to me, it might not necessarily be good for me.
Oh.
And with that one, I
at least you're honest.
That's the one I had struggled with the most, because obviously, you know, I have a primal nature in me,
mm-hmm.
and I've always been a good listener. So that's, well, I think I've been a good listener. What did you say a few minutes ago?
I'm sorry, baby.
I'm just lost. I was just so caught up in myself right now.
Of course. This was supposed to be a solo podcast.
Yeah. All about you.
So I think what it is, and going back to that is, do you think, this is just this honest question, I'm very curious to pry your mind about this.
Okay.
Do you think that the sexualization of the value of a woman based on her virginity? Have we talked about this before? We briefly did.
We've discussed it briefly. I don't know if we've... I don't think we've talked about it on the podcast, though.
Okay, maybe. I think maybe we have. But anyways, maybe I can go with it in a different direction with it.
Okay.
So, let's just dive into the... I'm going to say just religious aspects of it to begin with. And then from there, it becomes more of like culture-based as well. So, I'm speaking
society.
From the... I can speak directly from the Hispanic culture.
Okay.
The emphasis that has been placed in a woman's virginity to retain her value. So, the emphasis of like, oh, if you fucked around with someone, then you're worthless.
Like your body count? Is that what you're...
No, I'm not even... yes, that too. Like just
later
body
on.
Count. But... And body count, isn't even something that's culture based. I'm talking about the root of it.
Okay.
And people still practice that nowadays, you know, the male and even the mom and dad are still in control of like wanting to instill in a child your virginity is your whole value as a woman if you give yourself at that level, then you've lost your value.
And you're tainted
permanently. Yeah. But I also feel like they don't do that to men, to the men in the.
They encourage them.
They encourage the men.
Yeah.
You're like, you're a man now.
You're a man now. You need to go out. And it's just so absurd. Like,
and that they can do whatever.
I didn't grow up in that environment. My father was never like that. My father treated us all equally. The women, not equally per se, like we the men obviously in our strengths,
uh-huh.
and women in their strength, whatever my sister and her strength had, my dad used our abilities and their strengths, you know, the things that she wanted, she was good and helpful with, she'd help with those things, and the things that we were good and helpful with, we'd help with those things, but we were always treated equal.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you're not allowed to have bring a boyfriend or whatnot, and my dad was never like that. My dad was the type of person that, you know, my sister had a boyfriend. I was like, okay, well, you know, let me get to know him. Let me see who this guy is, you know? Mm. Same thing for us. Let me get to know her. Like, let me see who this woman is.
Oh, that's nice.
And so it was very wholesome to grow up in that environment, but also see how other people grew up.
Yeah, it's different.
Because of the way in the environment that I grew up in, I was around a lot of, like, high-power people in Mexico. And so we'd go to these places and the husband would, like, have a very strict regimen in how he addressed his wife.
Yeah, more defined roles.
Yeah, gender roles. And I'd remember going to someone's house and there was a huge dining table and we all sat down and it was just the lady. It was just the wife serving us all. She had spent since maybe 4 o'clock in the morning. And these are bragging rights from the husband. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a certain nature of maybe beauty that we don't understand in it too, because he was up with her at 4 o'clock in the morning, like working the first part of the meal and whatnot. And then when it came to serving, then he'd sit down, and maybe that's the exchange they had that I didn't quite understand. So that kind of,
it kind of
blows my mind now, because think about it. It's almost like if they're both receiving something from it. Mm-hmm. I just thought that it was pretty bizarre that she wasn't able to sit with us to eat at the same table. Yeah. That was pretty bizarre to me, because it's kind of like she was treated more like a pet. So she would stand next to her husband, and everybody would eat, and she would stand to his command. So she was very aware of what he needed. So she was always like a step ahead of it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she wasn't, when we all left, she cleaned, picked up the table, cleaned the dishes, everything. And after she picked up everything, she would sit down by herself to eat at the big dining table all alone. And I was like, it hurt me. It hurt me because I've never seen my mom being treated or any woman treated that way. And and everybody's so chalant about it, you know, like.
Normal.
Yeah, it was all cool. And then when we were driving back home, I asked my dad, I said, hey, dad, like, is that normal? Like, and he said, there are certain things that you're too young to understand now, but you'll understand them. Like, disagree with certain things that we saw, but I feel like you're going to remember this and you're going to have your own opinion about it. So I was like, oh, okay. And I did.
Oh.
My dad was very, very, I don't know, just very open-minded about things. You know, it's my dad, when I was maybe 8 or 9, I remember my dad literally took me to the entertainment center and opened up a drawer. And he said, this right here, all my VHS adult movies, you're not allowed to see any of these. Just, I know that you will respect that, Roger. You will not. And I did. Because I had a lot of respect for my dad. Because of the way that he approached me, it was always.
Yeah, he was like straightforward.
He was my idol, so I couldn't cross those boundaries, you know?
For what?
My brother was just a sneaky one, though. My brother would be. I'd walk past the living room and my brother would be, he'd be sitting in front of the TV watching porn. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing? My dad said, you can't see that. And then he'd stand and look at me and turn around and he'd say, well, you looked at it. Well, yeah, but because like, I'm telling you, but you're still looking at it.
I'm telling you.
Well, like, and I'm like, I'm staring at the screen, right? I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? I've never seen this before. This is crazy.
God, what is that?
You shouldn't be doing that. Like, I even slow down my voice. Well, now you can't really snitch on me because you're looking longer than you should have.
Oh my God.
So I'll just like, I'll go back to my room and I'm like, I am not going to be a part of this. But then,
be the bigger man.
But then I'd open the door a little bit and I'd just peek right through and I'm like, no, 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 I can't see this. I can't. This is bad. I am tainted. I feel this is, and I felt so bad.
Aww.
And then the fact that I, you know, I couldn't hold it in. Like, I felt like it was very disrespectful to my dad to not tell him. So the minute, you know, I figured, all right, I'm not going to snitch, but I'm not going to lie to my dad. And the minute my dad is like, hey, did somebody touch my movies? Because my brother forgot the movie inside the VHS.
Oh my God.
It's not like streaming now. So he left the VHS like off. It wasn't that he forgot. It was that my dad was like pulling in the driveway. And so my brother needed to turn everything off. And back then, if you needed to stop a movie, you'd have to stop it first and then hit eject. And then the eject process would be like. And then you have to take out the DVD, the VHS, put it in the sleeve, and then tuck it in where it was supposed to be.
It was the whole process.
Yeah. So my brother figured, I'm just going to wait till my dad, like, leaves again and then take the VHS out, right? I'm thinking that was his logic.
Or he'll wake up at night or something.
Yeah. And he had done that before. I remember he had done that before. Because he was super sneaky. My mom had a little, like, a little little store that she attached to the. She started selling stuff from the window from like the neighborhood.
Oh, like snacks and stuff.
Yeah, cool. Like nacho, chili Fritos.
Oh, that sounds so good.
And she'd had the little garbage pal card collections from the 80s, 90s.
The garbage.
It was kind of like a mocking the Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yeah, they were the gross ones.
Yeah, they were called the Garbage Pal Kids.
Oh, that's right. That's
and my brother was obsessed with those, and so he what he would do is he would attach strings. I don't know why he always did shit like that, because it was just like the door wasn't even locked.
He's like, I'm gonna do this. And
yeah, he always like know? Always wanted to play like Captain Detective and shit, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
He'd attach like, strings spy. To like. The candy and then pull it out, oh out from under the door in like, and it was so dumb because he'd get caught because my mom would sweep under the bed and he just put those things under the all the wrappers under the bed. So anyways, you know, my dad asked me, he's like, who's messing with my movies? And I was like,
he got home and then what? Like
my dad just got home, he started chilling.
He was like, I'm gonna watch something,
yeah,
something tonight.
Yeah, no, he was just, I'm assuming he wanted to put a different movie because it was like in the daytime.
Oh. Okay.
So when he was trying to put a movie, there was a movie in there. And so he, it's eject, you know what I mean? Fucking.
The porno comes out.
I'm cuckoo for Coco Cox. I don't know. I just made that. I think I've seen that title. But I don't remember what the title was. Saving Ryan's Privates?
Oh, you came up with a bunch of things at one point. Oh, well, you say they're real, right?
Sorry. They are real. There's yeah, the title.
I've never seen them. I never thought they were real.
They're real. There's like... No. There's, what is that other one? There's a... Lord of the G-Strings?
Oh, that's right.
Lord of the G-Strings? I'm cuckoo for Coco Cox. That's like BBC action and shit.
Saving Ryan's
Private.
Dumb.
Riding Miss Daisy. There's just a bunch of titles. And then there's
Send me parodies. Send me the best one.
The best parodies. There's some good parodies,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, if you're listening, send me like the best named ones, though. The best titles.
Okay.
I want to know.
The best titles. That'll be fun. Then somebody hit us. Yes. Somebody hits us up with the best titles.
Let me know.
And so I grew up in an environment where my dad treated everyone just equally, and I never seen. I mean, the things that I saw in how men treated women was from third part, like from other relationships that I'd seen. That they were just like, "Oh, this shit is not." Cool. Like, why do they do things that way? Like, no. Mm-hmm. So, through my dad, I did get to see a lot of, like, healthy dynamic between him and my mom. It's just that I think that my mom and my dad were not meant to be together because that did not work out pretty well between them towards the end.
Aww.
But they were happy when they were good. They were together.
At one point. Yeah.
That's another story. So, again, going back to it, I think that the fact that when men put a lot of emphasis on the value in a woman based on the sexual aspect of things or what she has to offer as a woman in the bedroom or what the fuck is that? Like, why is this more from the perspective of like now we're going into conservative views, because I'm pretty sure now the line is blurred now, you know, like
there's a lot of different factors that are at play when it comes to that specifically. Like, I think religion is a big factor in the value of a woman's virginity. Culturally, there's a whole different facet. Socially, I think there's young males with the mentality of like, oh, well, it's a weird line. What you're saying is true because I've heard a lot of men say they don't want to be a woman's first. But they'll also say that the less experience she has, the more malleable she is.
I also have an issue with that.
So,
because for me, experiences, there's kink experience. I understand that, mm-hmm. but experiencing someone new is something new. It'll always be something new because that's a new experience with someone you've never met before, and we're all different.
I think men like to imprint. that's what
makes mark their territory.
Yeah, like I think they like to imprint sexually and being like, oh, like she hasn't had me.
But that's kind of.
So then, like, if it's less, like, if they don't have the experience, and you add that ego mentality to it, I feel like they think, oh, perfect, like, opportunity for me.
Okay, so now I think we're now shifting into the alpha masculinity bullshit mentality that's.
Which also goes back to the reason why, like, religion and cultures will put virginity in like a huge value to a woman.
And I'm not saying
that's a big like mis.
There's women out there that hold value to that in themselves and. I mean, how do you, if that's how they feel, then you have to honor and respect that as well, right?
Of course.
Because we're all different. Like, so if that's her perspective, that's her, she values the strength in that. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I mean, there's a lot of value in it, but I'm just saying. Trying to keep it very real and treating them with a level of equality as I would anyone else. Of course, I have certain restrictions in engaging with a friendship with a woman, but I think it also falls more into not necessarily restrictions, but more
boundaries.
The vibe mm-hmm. the vibe that I can create with anyone. And boundaries, I mean, boundaries, they can go for men and for women. It doesn't matter. That you just need to keep a certain level of respect in any capacity. But what I'm saying is, more so that I was, particularly on my father's side, I was raised to have a certain strict level of respect for women, period. Mm-hmm. So 9 out of 10 times, if I'm in a situation where I'm out and about, or even in a previous relationship where things were getting out of hand as a result of her actions, like she's being aggressive or someone's being disrespectful, I understand that I am physically more able to hurt her than she would me. So instead of taking the approach of like, well, you want to be equal, you're going to get treated equal, I'm just going to remove myself and say, hey, I'm going to let the situation, if it's a relationship, I'm just going to let the situation cool down. And then if there's room to talk, then we will talk. And if there isn't any room to talk, then I need to reassess whether it's someone that I want to be with, because that's not the type of relationship I want to be in to begin with. Yeah. And go ahead.
You just don't want to entertain that level of engagement.
Well, there wouldn't be any level of engagement. And then particularly, I am capable of saying, okay, well, if you need space, you need space. But if there's no, like, if the anger derived from an argument or disagreement is to distance yourself just for the sake of just distancing yourself, you don't have any intention of resolving the matter. Because a lot of relationships are like that. A lot of relationships.
Hold on to it.
Oh, yeah. Like, if.
Oh, like he said, she said kind of
thing. No.
No, they hold on to the reasons why they're mad at each other.
And they don't ever express them, or they don't ever address them accordingly.
Like, if they don't make room to be like, okay, like, I'm upset at you because of this, this, and this. How do we fix it? It's more like it turns into, oh, I'm mad at you at this, this, and this. Like, what are you going to do about it?
And sometimes it's not even something that is spoken. And sometimes it's just a matter of like, I'm mad at this person, but fuck them. I'm going to let them figure it out.
Yeah. There's no room there's no room. There's no mutual desire or interest to get to a resolution. And if there's not a collaborative effort in trying to get to the root of the problem, you're always going to end up bumping heads.
And the problem is, you know, if both parties have the same mentality, you're not going to grow.
That's pride.
Yeah, that is pride. How are you going to grow? Like, and you know, even if one of them has a mentality, you're not going to grow, because it's a one person team. You can't do anything with that. So people have that level of resentment against each other, and they don't make an effort to say, okay, how do we get past this?
Like, yeah. And there's that's not even discussing the other aspect of how people are willing to accept apologies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's holding on to the resentment.
They're not able to accept an apology.
Like, say you get into a disagreement or an argument about something, right? And you come to your partner and you say, hey, I realize where I messed up. I understand where I fell short of the situation. And I'm sorry for my actions, or not being able to handle the situation better. And, like, you know, I apologize. Like, I'm sorry for hurting you. There's situations, or I'm sure there's relationships, where the other person will be like, yeah, well, I don't give a shit right now. Like, don't fucking talk to me.
Yeah. Or, and, or, you know, they'll say something along the lines like, I don't believe you. And now the person that now feels completely exposed for what they've shared.
Yeah, because they were vulnerable.
And all of that derives from the fact that they never had good communication to begin with. There was never an established trust.
Yeah. So that's like, it's easy to say, oh, if we just talk about it and I if I get an apology, it would change things. But when it comes down to it, when people are emotional, they can get angry.
And they will anger, say things.
Yeah, and that anger will blur any sort of apology or level of vulnerability.
Yeah, because pride gets in the way. And then there's the other issue of people saying that, okay, I forgive you, but not actually forgiving you.
Yeah, and then it'll hover.
Yeah, and they'll bring it up in arguments. Like, oh, like, yeah, but you did this and that, and, you know, well, I thought we talked about this. Yeah, but I'm never going to forget. Like, it's going to come up. And I'm just like, why? Why would you do that to yourself and to them? Why? And it all goes back again. I think when we bring
keeping
it...
Keeping tabs.
No, and bringing it back to it, you can go as far back as your childhood, the way that you were brought up, the way that your parents were around in the household and how they treated you and how they never really made an attempt to gain your trust because of the way that they treated you. So I think the biggest issue here, and one of the reasons why I wanted to bring up this particular topic, is the toxic behaviors in which we grew up almost inherently. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, not inherently, the word I'm trying to say is generational.
Oh, yeah.
Those generational issues that your parents went through, that you grew up in that environment, and then now, because they had a justification for their actions, now it can turn out to be much easier for you to justify your own actions.
Yeah, it's in your DNA, literally.
It's like an imprint because of its behaviors that you grew up seeing around the house. If you were 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old and you see them and how they engage in their arguments, you're like, well, you know, they're managing, they're still together, so they must be doing something right.
Yeah, but are they happy?
I don't think a lot of couples even understand what genuine happiness is about, or that they are. A lot of people even sacrifice for whether it be for their children and for the sake of, like, we're together this long,
yeah,
or with hope, with a potential. Like, they're married with potential, or they're together in a relationship with someone because, like,
do you think they get used to each other?
Yeah, yeah. Some couples
that
just
used to something like that, like it's comfortable.
I don't know, that seems sad to me.
I understand.
It's sad, but it's real. I think most people just want to be comfortable and feel safe. And sometimes safe could be not healthy, unfortunately.
Well, the feeling of safe, not necessarily.
The feeling of being safe.
And I think that for me, that's one of the reasons why I came up with the title for this particular podcast. Mm-hmm. What is it? Don't be afraid of daddy or something like that?
I think so.
Okay. And it's interesting because I do feel that there's a huge influence in father's roles in a woman's life that causes or creates certain level of trauma in how they grow up and they view men. Or, you know, sometimes it could be for the worse, sometimes it could be for the better. But there is a huge influence on that. But now going back into making an attempt to be in a dynamic, and particularly if someone embraces their inner child and they want to be in a dynamic with a daddy dom, aside from the fact that, like, there's a lot of fakes and posers out there. When you do find someone, get past your fears. Give that person a true, genuine opportunity to get to know you. And in doing so, you're doing yourself a huge favor by, one, you're not wasting your time, which is something that should be very important. You're not wasting your time in sugarcoating
who you are so that the other person has a very specific image of you, especially if you're trying to pursue something on a serious level. If you are afraid to take a step in any direction because you don't know what direction you're going with in getting to know someone, then where are you going to go? Are you going to stay in the same spot forever? How are you going to grow? How are you going to learn from your mistakes? How are you going to learn how to deal with your traumas? How are you going to learn to communicate better? And how is that going to sit on, like, how is that particular attitude going to help your partner understand how to help without it becoming an obstacle course that he needs to go through in order to get to know you? That they need to go through. When I speak for myself, because as it applies to myself, obviously there's different dynamics, but it's going to be like trying to hold someone's hand and try to cross the river, and that person is walking towards the current, and you're trying to walk against them, against the current, and you're holding their hand. It's going to be nearly impossible. You have to be extremely strong, and it's pointless, because you can make so much more progress by allowing room to get to know someone, in making room to allow them to get to know you. And then it now connects to the fact that you need to learn to become educated. How do you communicate with someone?
It's a skill.
It is a skill, because, and then you need to know, and for women, I want to say it's a lot more difficult, because there's a lot of other factors in place that men have no idea. Like, a man can turn around and I find someone online. We find an interest. Hey, let's meet for coffee at 8 o'clock in a certain restaurant. In my mind, I'm like, cool, you know, we'll meet up. I'm going to get to see her. A woman's mind could just be like, well, what if it's a trap? Or what if it's like,
I'm going to get abducted. What if they kill me? Legit.
Yeah. Or like rape. So like, probably.
It's dangerous for women.
And men don't really deal with that process.
No. Because the world was built for y'all. Mm-hmm.
What are you looking at me with those eyes like I built it?
You're just part of it.
You're the construction girl.
Anyways, gender roles.
Gender roles.
They don't.
Gender roles don't matter.
Can for certain people, if that's the dynamic that they're looking for.
Like, yeah, but it also feels like it empowers those alpha douchebags that are on the internet nowadays trying to, I don't know, maybe it's just more personal for me.
I can understand how at one point everyone benefited from that, because women's like responsibility or set title was to be provider and housewife, like a mom.
Yeah.
But now we're pushing more towards equality.
A lot more options.
Yeah. You don't need to be married to get a bank account.
Yeah, the rules have changed.
Yeah.
We are evolving.
People don't like that change.
I actually just had a conversation with a family member, and they explained the whole metaverse to me, and
you get it.
I get it. I get it. I don't know if I would be invested in it, but I feel like because I understand it now, if I don't at least put my foot in the water just for the sake of having it there, that I'm going to miss out.
Yeah.
That's all. Like, I'm not. Yeah. Anyways, back to the topic. Thank you so much. I hope everybody has a happy Halloween. Woo.
Yeah.
if you're the shy type, hit us up on DM and tell us what you got dressed as. Or you can hit us up in public.
Yeah, we want to retweet pictures. Cute costumes. Yes,
please. That too.
All your ideas.
That too. And we are happy to be back. We are going to make an effort to pull out at least once a month or twice a month. I haven't entirely decided what the flow of this is going to be. But I'm very excited.
We are.
And we'll try to do segments. We've actually... Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I've missed it.
Yeah. The other thing is, we've made some really cool friends in the lifestyle. And so we might be having invites and in the near future.
We want to have guests.
And obviously, you know, if you feel like you could be a guest in our show, we are in Cali. And we could probably do it remotely too. So that's not going to be an issue.
We did that once.
Yeah, I think I can figure it out.
It was a fun experience.
I feel like I now have the... I'm still using the old equipment, but I feel like I have the necessary equipment to do things at a higher level. So hopefully it'll work out.
Yeah, it will.
Thank you so much. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Okay, I'm coming back to it real quick because I think... Kitten, who never really has anything to say, has something to say now, and I want y'all to listen because it's important.
Okay, because I know the topic is fear.
Right.
I was trying to explain how if you're not ready to deal with your inner fears or struggles by yourself as an individual, it's going to be much harder walking into a relationship and having to explain that or share that aspect of yourself to someone else because they won't know what it is you're dealing with. And if you're already dealing with your struggles or your fears or your insecurities, and now you have to explain that or like be more vulnerable overall, it's just going to be much harder.
Good point. Again, thank you so much. Everybody have a good night. Happy Halloween.
Boo. Boo.